Welcome back to the Paul to Timothy Institute podcast. I'm Dr. Mike Oney. Hey, we're in the middle of a series called Final Words for Future Leaders. It's taken from John chapter 12 through John chapter 17. And you remember between 13 and 17, those five chapters, that comprises like 8 to 10 hours of Jesus's emphases, his teachings with his core leaders, whom he is about to empower and leave the focus of the church within the scope of their leadership. You know, one of the greatest deterrents to ministry effectiveness, and Jesus helps us, as you'll see in this particular message, one of the greatest deterrents to ministry effectiveness is the ability to discern and embrace the present emphasis of the Holy Spirit. If we can discern what God is doing and embrace very practically what God is doing, that is most of the focus that we need to have on a daily basis. So part four is titled, Protecting the Sacred Through Discernment. Let me give you my favorite diet and see if you don't relate. This diet is designed to help you cope with stress that builds up during the day. So here's the diet, and I think all of us that have had to lose a few pounds, and I still do, this diet makes complete sense to me as to what most people do. Breakfast, half a grapefruit, one slice of whole wheat toast, and 8 ounces of skim milk. Lunch, 4 ounces of lean, broiled chicken breast, 1 cup of steamed spinach, 1 cup of herb tea, and 1 Oreo cookie. Mid-afternoon snack, the rest of the Oreos in the package, 2 pints of Rocky Road ice cream with nuts, cherries, and whipped cream, and 1 jar of hot fudge sauce. At dinner time, 2 loaves of garlic bread, 4 cans, or 1 large pitcher of Coke, 1 large sausage, mushroom, and cheese pizza, and 3 Snickers bars. Late evening, head to the fridge and eat a frozen Sara Lee cheesecake right from the freezer. How many relate? We start out well, but we lose the ability to embrace. I want to talk today about how Jesus trained his ministry leaders and helped them stay focused on what is important in the moment, and then how he transitioned that responsibility to the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So we'll talk very practically about protecting the sacred through discernment, and specifically discernment that allows us to understand what God is doing and hold on to it. Obviously, Jesus could have trained his leaders any way that he wanted to in the 3 years that he spent with them. Matter of fact, there were schools of leadership during Jesus' earthly ministry years. He could have just copied one of them or created one of his own. He didn't do that. He did not enter his leaders into a formal setting of a classroom and that kind of training. Rather, instead of the classroom, he chose to travel with his leaders, to get to know them personally and begin delegating to them along the way. Jesus's training style for the apostles, for his leaders, was what could be called, very legitimately so, an experiential learning model. Experiential learning typically includes learning something, doing something with what you have learned, reflecting, thirdly, with somebody that knows more than you do, and fourthly, do it again better. And those four dynamics of learn, do, reflect, and do again is what, in essence, comprises experiential learning. That's what Jesus chose to do. Jesus was constantly in the ear of his leaders, guiding them, correcting them, helping them make sense, helping them discern and practically embrace the present emphases that the kingdom of his Father wanted pronounced. Let's talk about how Jesus taught his leaders to discern and embrace the present emphasis of the Spirit of his kingdom in their lives. So I want to just chat through 2 points with us today. One is discernment is developed by learning to listen to the Holy Spirit. And then secondarily, I'd like us to talk about discernment comes through a life of obedience. Let's jump in the first point here. Discernment is developed by learning to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. When you read the Gospels, it's clear that Jesus was regularly teaching his leaders what was important in the moment. Let me give you a little illustration that you'll relate to. When you and your spouse are in the car driving down the road, very often, or at least sometimes, maybe infrequently, but a comment comes out like this when you're thinking about together somebody that you've recently been around, and then one of you spouts out something like, "That person is such a child." I think what you're actually emphasizing about that person is they do not know what is important, and they don't know how to walk it through. And so our comments of "that person is such a child" or something along that line has to do with discernment. Now, coming back to the point here, discernment is developed by learning to listen to the Holy Spirit. As you read the Gospels, it's clear that Jesus was regularly teaching his leaders what was important in the moment. In other words, he helped them discern the present role and emphasis of the Father's kingdom. You'll hear Jesus make statements like this: "Don't say that there are 4 months to the harvest." Why'd he say that? Because it'd be the easiest thing to delay the harvest. He said the Holy Spirit has a present emphasis on the harvest now. You'll hear him say things like, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven." What's he telling them? He's saying, guys, it's not good enough to be religious. It's not good enough to have your checklist of things that are good and that maybe that you ought to be doing. You've got to go beyond that. You've actually got to move into the present emphasis of the Lordship of Jesus practically in your life and in my life. "Not everyone who says unto me, 'Lord, Lord,' is going to enter in." You will hear Jesus give them instruction. When you go to a place and you're rejected and you've invested and there is no reception, then he tells them what to do. He's saying you need to pull some commitments back or all of the commitments back from that particular setting and be open to going elsewhere. What is he doing? Helping them discern in the experiences that they're about to face how to respond to that. So what's the point? Discernment is developed in our lives by learning to listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus taught his leaders that. When you come into John chapter 14 and John chapter 16, Jesus told his leaders this. Jesus told his leaders to expect to be taught directly by the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Let me read just a few verses from John 14 and John 16. In John 14, 16, and 17, Jesus told his leaders, now keep in mind, this is in the last few hours that he spends with his leaders. So whatever he's saying is a really big deal, and he's introducing them to the concept that they won't be able to hear from him directly. They will be able, however, to hear from the voice of the Holy Spirit, and they're going to have to learn to listen. John 14, 16, and 17. Jesus said, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." Another helper in the Greek is allos parakletos. Allos means something of the same kind, and parakletos is helper or comforter or teacher or guide or encourager, something along that line. What is Jesus saying? "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another just like me, helper. You won't be able to see him, but he'll be in you. He said to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." He's introducing them to a new role, the voice of the Holy Spirit coming internally from the life of a ministry leader or believer. John 16, verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage," Jesus said, "that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. John 16, verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. So one of the first principles that Jesus laid down for his leaders to be able to discern and embrace the present emphasis of what the Lord wanted in their life was to be introduced to the present voice of the Holy Spirit that was at work in their hearts. Isn't it true? It's one of the easiest things in the world to lose the sense of the sacred in our common experiences. C.S. Lewis addressed this issue in his book, The Weight of Glory, and in his inimitable style, he said this. He said, "There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilizations, these are mortal. And their life is to ours as the life of a gnat. But it is immortals whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, exploit, immortal horrors or everlasting splendors. This does not mean that we are to be perpetually solemn," Lewis said. "We must play, but our merriment must not be of the kind, and it is, in fact, the merriest kind, which exists between people who have, from the outset, taken each other seriously. No flippancy, no superiority, no presumption. And our charity must be real and costly love, with deep feeling for the sins, in spite of which we love the sinners. No mere tolerance or indulgence, which parodies love as flippancy parodies merriment. Next to the Blessed Sacrament," Lewis said, "your neighbor is the holiest object presented to your senses." I love the phrase in that quote when he said, "There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal." Can I give you what is obvious in the life of Jesus and how he stayed in tune with the present emphasis of the Father? Jesus learned to pay attention to emotions and experiences. Let me give you four of them. There were these moments of compassion in Jesus's life that helped him know what to do, to feed people, to teach them. There were moments of conviction when he knew that he needed to reprioritize the focus of ministry. There were problems that he was confronted with, a demon shrieking out or whatever the deal was. And that problem helped him to discern the emphasis of the Spirit. There were requests that came from people. But as he heard the request, he knew that the Father's heart was there to meet that request. Jesus discerned very much through compassion, conviction, problems, and request. Can I just tell you, just very practically related to this point of learning to listen to the Holy Spirit, that compassion, conviction, problems, and request is a big deal related to that. And living a prayed-up life will cause us to be far more sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit when we are walking through life and experience those four dynamics like Jesus did: compassion moments, conviction moments, problem moments, and request moments. We have to have this ability to listen inwardly to the voice of the Spirit. It very much hinges on our prayer life. Second point is this: when Jesus is helping his leaders come to the place of embracing the sacred very practically in their life, it's through discernment. And discernment comes, now listen to this now, discernment comes to our lives through obedience. John 14, verse 21, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Can I just tell you, when discernment is really lacking in my life as a ministry leader, I begin exploring the areas of obedience that I feel like the Lord will want to point out. Obedience is essential to being able for the Father, for Jesus to be able to reveal his purposes. I love the story of Charles Spurgeon. He tells of an interview with a potential minister. And it seemed to be entirely designed to get the guy on edge and to get him ruffled and certainly to get him to compromise Christian fruit of the Spirit. A young man desired to go to India as a missionary, and he was interviewed by the London Missionary Society. True story. His name was Mr. Wilkes, who was in charge of the interview. He wrote down about the meeting that he had with him. He said, "I asked him to meet me at 6 a.m. in the morning." He said the young man was on time, even though it was a long way for him to come. The young man had to wait an extremely long time before I would even meet with him. Around mid-morning, Mr. Wilkes enters the room and said, "So, you want to be a missionary? Have you had any education?" "Yes, sir, I certainly do." And then he said, "Can you spell cat?" And then he said, "Can you spell dog?" He said, "How much is 2 times 2? And he asked these highly simplistic questions. And the young man answered each question patiently. Mr. Wilkes wrote in his report about his interview to the committee with that missionary. He said, "I cordially recommend that young man. His testimony and character I have duly examined. I tried his self-denial. He was up in the morning early. I tried his patience by keeping him waiting. I tried his humility and temper by insulting his intelligence." His words in the report to the committee were this: "He will do just fine." Mr. Wilkes examined the young wannabe missionary's obedience to the Lord's calling on his life. Let me bring it back to the point that Jesus said. John 14:21, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." When the Lord isn't speaking, an individual may have a love problem. And if they have a love problem with Jesus, it's really an obedience issue. A life of practical obedience is a characteristic of those who are able to hear from the Lord and respond to what He wants. There are two things that will really help you and I discern and embrace the present emphasis of the Holy Spirit. That is this. Number one, we need a discernment that is built upon learning to listen to the Holy Spirit. And secondarily, we need a discernment that is rooted in a personal obedience to the voice of the Lord in our lives. Obedience and revelation go hand in hand. This is Mike Oney, president of Paul to Timothy Institute, encouraging you, hey, let's pay attention to the final words that Jesus gave his future leaders and protect the sacred through practical discernment. Let me encourage you to head over to paultotimothy.com, and you'll find all kinds of resources designed just for you and your ministry. It's at paultotimothy.com.